Welcome back in, everyone, to a fantastic new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We are joined by two fantastic artists who have probably the best named show we've ever gotten to talk about on this program. Ooh-hoo. Joining us today, we have the writer and director Bill Schomburg and the performer Matthew Donovan DiLorenzo. They're here to talk to us about their show, Three Chickens Confront Existence, which is playing May 23rd through the 26th at Under St. Mark's. And you can get your tickets and more information by visiting frigid.nyc. We are so excited to be bringing you a show with just such a perfect name. This is a brilliant title for a play, and we can't wait to dive more into it. So with that, let's go ahead and welcome on our guest, Bill, Matthew. Welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Hey, great to be here. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
I am so excited to have you here. I can't wait to talk about this show, this powerful dramatic piece, a gripping piece at the poultry industry. No, I'm kidding. You know, this is a wonderful title of a show. So Three Chickens Confront Existence. Bill, can we start with you as the playwright? You know, what is this show about?
Well, the one thing I do like about the title is it does distill the central premise. It is absolutely about three chickens confronting existence. They're actually factory farm chickens, and they exist in a factory that's entirely mechanized. There are no workers. Basically, they awake every morning. And they know they have it. There's a ritual where they call it the broiler light goes on. And then they have 1 minute to find out which of their cell blocks. And we have a sense that there are many, 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 many. This is a large factory. Which of their cell blocks will be selected to be pushed along the rails to the broiler. So basically every morning they wake up to find out whether or not they're going to perish. They know they will eventually perish, but they just don't know when, and they are coping with this reality the best that they can.
That is a fantastic premise, though. What a fun story, and I can't wait to see it, to just hear the dialogue, the inner thoughts that are happening from this. So I'm curious to know, you know, what inspired you to write this?
You know, that's a really good question, because I came up with the idea a long, long, long time ago, and I started actually working on it 15 years ago. And it started as it's funny. I had actually, Matt and I were a part of a sketch comedy group in New York for a while in like the mid 2000s. And I had written a monologue, and I hit the word log because I was a log, an anthropomorphized log, who was giving something of a Shakespearean soliloquy before being pushed into a campfire. So it was like his last, you know, final hurrah before just being sort of unceremoniously tossed into a campfire. And I just, something about writing these non-human characters facing mortality and dealing with these really core existential questions just appealed to me. I can't entirely say why. I mean, I've got some theories there, but this was essentially sort of a spiritual sequel to that just short, like one act piece, that monologue. And so I started, you know, writing what I didn't know where it was going. I wrote like 5 to 10 pages. I thought it was going to be a one act. I really liked the idea of what I was doing, but I ultimately ended up working on other things and kind of moving on. And then I just dusted it off like 3 or 4 years ago. And I was just like, man, I really like this idea. Like this actually should be a full length play. I love it. And I just felt like I was in a place to, I could see what it needed to be a full play. And I actually just prioritized it. And it was like, that was the project I wanted to really focus on. And yeah. And the rest is sort of history. I'm a member of a Naked Angels theater group, and I attend their cold reading series, which is on Tuesdays in New York City, where writers can bring in selections of new material and have them performed by incredibly talented actors. Two of our three actors that are in the play are actually also a part of this community. And that's Audrey Rappaport and Eric Kirchberger. And I developed it there for a few years, really. And I'm pretty much every scene in the play at least had some form of reading there. So I just tend to need some type of writer's group, some type of collaboration to finish anything. So I think I couldn't have done it without that community. There's no way. And then they very graciously produced a stage reading of the play at Theater 80 in the summer of 22.
Fantastic. What a fun journey so far. Yeah. Now, Matthew, I want to bring you in now as the performer in the show. What has it been like developing this piece, getting it up on its feet?
Extremely hard not to break is what I this is the first thing I would say. We've been in rehearsal the last few weeks, and I am just surprised at how hard it is for me not to break. It's so funny and so lovely. I mean, like Bill said, we wrote and performed sketch comedy in the mid-2000s, and we grew up together in Portland, Oregon. So I feel like in some ways I was lucky to be kind of have a front row seat to the development of the play over the course of its many iterations and development. So like this point of it now, it's funny because I've we used to live right around the corner from each other. We'd go and have like kombucha on draft down at I don't even remember the name of that bar anymore, but we would go down there
Oh,
and
in
we
Bushwick. Yeah, when we lived
yeah
in Bushwick.
Bushwick yeah
Yeah.
and we would
Oh my God, we were talking about it back then. We've been working
yeah
on this thing. I've been working on this for a long time, really. It's almost embarrassing how long, but hey, you know.
but it's worth it. I mean, it's like you
Yeah.
double bring pages down, he's like, hey, check these out, what do you think? And I'd just be like, this play is gonna be so good, I cannot wait till it is done. And so now it's like that whole thing has culminated with us in rehearsals, and it's so exciting. And what's so wonderful about approaching this character for me is really the challenge of him. Can I say him? I'm not even sure. Challenge of it. Challenge of the
Well,
chick.
he's a rooster. We referenced that, so
Yeah, okay.
yeah.
Yeah. How, there's a around how we all sort of cope with our impending mortality, and understanding how to get from each one of those points in a seamless and sensible way has been really enjoyable and challenging.
That is awesome. Now, I do want to back up real quick with you, Matthew, because we kind of touched on the answer to this, but how is it that you came upon the piece?
Well, Bill and I are from Portland, Oregon, together. I've ridden in the art car or the art truck. I don't know if, oh, I don't know if we talked about that in the intro or on the I don't remember. Anyway, yeah, and then we wrote and did sketch comedy together for I don't know how many years that was, a lot of years. And so, yeah, in that way, I don't remember. I don't remember the first time you were like, "Hey, I'm working on this thing. Check it out." I don't remember that.
It's funny. I feel like I yeah I did it's I forgot that like how often I was bringing you pages to just take a look at, and this is well before you knew you were going to be in
Oh yeah, way
it.
before.
Way before. I mean, and I remember we did the first ever very casual reading that we did in my apartment like 2 years ago. You read Bronsman. His character is Bronsman. We sort of call him Hamlet in feathers. And you had done that, and that was still before. That was still like a friendly, let's just start to hear it for the first time from the beginning to the end, an earlier draft. And yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think, like, when did it wasn't until this fall, right, that I actually approached you about
Yeah.
starring in it and being in it
Oh,
for the Edinburgh show. Yeah.
yeah.
It's amazing. Amazing. Well, we love a good production that starts on the west and makes its way to the east. This is wonderful.
That's right. We just keep moving east, further
Yeah,
east.
true.
Next
Yeah.
production will be on an
Or
abandoned oil rig in the Atlantic Ocean before making
exactly.
its way to Edinburgh. Yep, I got you. Well, going back to you first on this, Bill, is there a message or a thought you're hoping audiences take away from Three Chickens Confront Existence?
Man, that is a I mean, I should preface this answer by saying one of my favorite things is when audiences have responses and experiences that I don't see coming and that I'm surprised by, and I really love that. So part of me is reticent to answer that, but I will say that I something I would love is if for audiences have the experiences this experience of seeing just how much they have in common with these caged factory farm chickens facing their mortality, that they have a lot more in common than they may suspect with just this core situation that we're in here. I remember in college, like taking like a Buddhism 101 course, like, so I'm just like discovering Buddhism for the first time. And I remember highlighting, just underlining this passage, and I'm going to butcher it, but it was just basically like, the only thing that we know is that we're going to die. We don't know when. And I feel like that's the core essential premise. Oh, the issue that these characters have is they can't distract themselves. They're forced to stare at this dilemma because they literally can't move. They have to just, and they're forced to be reminded of that every morning. And they set out to do the best that they can to cope with their situation from as many different angles as they possibly can. They explore mysticism. They explore power dynamics. They explore relational dynamics. They invent they write a mythology that becomes a religion. They, you know, they're really trying. They're really trying hard.
Oh my gosh, I love
it. It tends to like, what would you say? That effort leads to what, Matt?
Leads to an understanding of ourselves, I think. I mean, that's what I would hope. I mean, one of the things that I love so much about it, and I think we kind of learned this when Bill was doing log with the sketch, is that when you can project onto something that's not exactly like you, it allows for all of those emotions that are intrinsic in our daily lives to kind of come out in a more powerful way. Like the absurdity of our existence feels less absurd, but also still absurd. And it's something we can laugh at, but also cry at the same time without feeling the pressure of our own mortality. It's a really powerful moment. Yeah.
Wow. Well said. I love that.
That was a brilliant thought there. I love that. Well, we've now arrived at my final question for this first part. And Matthew, I'm going to ask it to you, which is, who do you hope have access to Three Chickens Confront Existence?
I mean, aside from the great producer of the biggest theater in the world that wants to put it up for us, that person, you know, I think one of the coolest things about the play is that it's, you know, as soon as you get to be a certain age where you even consider, you know, what life is and what existence on this planet is like, there are just so many applicable things in it for you. So I feel like this is a coy answer, but I think anybody who's ready for that, to enjoy that, to sit in that moment, to laugh at it, to laugh at ourselves, the way that we try to cope with our own thing. I want everyone to have an opportunity to experience that together.
Second part of our show, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better. Pull the curtain back, if you will. And I want to start with our perennial first question, which is, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows inspire you, or are just some of your favorites? And Matthew, can I start first with you on that?
Sure. Geez, what are some shows that have inspired me?
Matt doesn't see theater.
Say what?
Matt doesn't see theater. No, I'm just kidding.
I never do.
It's part of his process.
I'm trying to think of the big ones that have, like,
yeah,
popped out of me, like Godot with John Goodman and Nathan Lane and Bill. And I mean, that one was like, that was one of my seminal theater going experiences. Sweeney Todd with Michael. Oh my God, I'm blanking.
Michael Cerveris and Patti LuPone.
Yep. That was a big one. And actually, I think sometimes when we talk about staging this play, I think about that one a lot because it was so simple. So stripped down, the use of lights, and I mean, just there was just the production of it was just so beautiful. Those are my first two theater answers. I don't know, like, what were the composers? Morricone, I'm a Beethoven man, if we're talking about composers. And in terms of writers, I would say Ian McEwan's top for me. Yeah, I don't know.
Those are some great, great inspirations, some great artists, some great shows that we're huge fans of. So that is fantastic. William, what about you?
I think it's like sort of just a stew composed of, yeah, Beckett, especially Endgame, Ionesca, Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and David Lynch. All kind of put in a, you know, a crock pot and, you know, simmering. That's why, I mean, yeah, actually in a weird way, yeah, I connect to all those. Also, Carl Jung. I always go back to Jung. I love Jung, and I think anytime I'm reading like Jung's work, I tend to get a lot of ideas and just start kind of going free form writing. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I'll go with those for now.
I think those are fantastic as well, both of you. Those are some fantastic inspirations. Thank you for that. And it now leads to my favorite question to ask guests, and that of course is, what is your favorite theater memory?
Oh, I've got one. I remember when I was in college, I was visiting Chicago for the first time, and I was staying with my roommate. I was going to school in LA, but I was visiting my roommate in Chicago, and I remember his mom was like, "You guys should go check out Steppenwolf. What do you guys, you know?" I think we were just kind of hanging out a lot, and she's like, "Go, go, go, dudes, go see culture, go take advantage of the city." And we're like, I think this play sold out. It was Hedda Gabler. And, you know, we went down to the Steppenwolf Theater. It was sold out, but we ended up getting standby tickets. Again, it was second row. It was starring Martha Plimpton. And I remember just like, yeah, it was just like a kind of a transcendent theatrical experience. I love theater, but seeing just that play at that time in my life, when I was like 20 years old, it hit me so hard. I just love theater. And again, it was a very minimalist set. And as Matt was talking about with Sweeney Todd, but yeah, that's the first thing that comes to mind. It was that feeling like when you leave, when you walk in. I get this with film a lot too, but there's something about just a great theatrical experience is going to theater and the feeling you get when you walk out and the world just looks a little different for a while. I can't quite explain it, but something is just different. I'm seeing the world differently. I feel lighter. I feel like there's possibilities. And I even felt this. I felt this actually what I loved about the Edinburgh Fringe that I went last year it was my first time going. And I knew I was interested in bringing a play there, but I wanted to learn more about the festival. And there were a couple shows that I went to without reading anything about that I just walked into on a whim and left with that exact feeling so that I could, so it's like, I could find that at, you know, Steppenwolf Theater, but I could also find it at this indie show in Edinburgh that I knew nothing about. And I could, it still provided that kind of same kind of magical experience that I really attribute to theater.
Love that. That is a wonderful memory and a wonderful thought. Thank you so much for that. Matthew, how about you? Tell us, what's your favorite theater memory?
I think so. I might take a different tact. I mean, because I just talked about some of my top experiences, but for me, one of my most favorite memories is, you know, I came to theater a little late. I started as a musician, and you know, we started doing sketch comedy together. And I remember we were doing a sketch that I wrote called Italian Guys, and and it was a silly piece that was all in Italian, so nobody could understand what we were talking about in the room. But yet they still could understand what we were talking about in the room. And it was one of those moments in theater that I'm sure that, I mean, I know Bill knows it, but I'm sure you know it too, Andrew, when you're like, you're up there and you realize that together you and the audience have created such a live wire feeling that I was doing the bit and I would be, and we would break the fourth wall in this piece. And I would essentially like fall in love with someone who's in the audience, and I would speak to them in Italian, and then we would present them with gifts, and we would sing to them, and we would do this whole thing. They didn't quite understand what was going on, but they did understand what was going on. And there was this moment when we were doing it. It was a show, we were out on the road doing it, and it was in a city we didn't normally perform in. And I remember it was just one of those moments where I could feel that I realized that my finger was making people laugh, and I started just seeing what kind of laughs I could get with a finger. And it was like one of the most powerful experiences I've ever had, because like we were doing it together. You know, I don't feel like it was me doing it. I feel like I was being sort of, the energy from the room was like they had fixated on this thing that no one ever had ever fixated on, or at least I had noticed before. And it just put a highlight on that moment where you and the audience creates these live things that are ephemeral and will go away in a minute, but is just so powerful in that one millisecond, that one moment. And so much fun. And I remember Dave, my brother Dave, was also with us. He looked over to me at one time. He was like, okay, you've been going on with that finger thing long enough. He was like, okay, we got the last with the finger. Let's move on. But it was still...
I love that. I love story. That. Those are both amazing memories. Thank you both for sharing those. As we wrap things up, I would love to know, do either of you have any other projects or productions coming on the pipeline we might be able to plug for you?
I'm actually working on a solo show. So it's my first ever solo show. It's just in development. It's what I'm writing right now while we're producing Chickens. But I'm also developing it with Naked Angels, like I did with Three Chickens Confront Existence. So that's my latest project. I'll definitely let you know about it when it gets further along.
Yes, that's amazing.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of finishing an album with the producing team, and that's one thing I'm doing. And then the other thing probably would be going to shoot sort of a mini internet series called Gym Bros, and that's supposed to shoot in the summer.
That is fantastic. It's very exciting and a great lead into my final question, which is, if our listeners would like more information about Three Chickens Confront Existence or about either of you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
Well, one great way would be honestly on Instagram, follow Three Chickens Play, T-H-R-E-E, Chickens Play. And all the information you'll need about both the show in New York and our run in Edinburgh will be there. Also, if you go to Frigid NYC's website, you can purchase tickets. They're available now for the NYC show. It begins the 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th. That's Memorial Day weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah, I think it's gonna be a really good night at the theater. I think you should come out and check it out.
Here.
My personal Instagram is Bill Schaumburg, B-I-L-L-S-C-H-A-U, M as in Mary, B as in boy, E-R-G. Oh my God, that's what I say every time I'm on the phone with Verizon. M as in Mary, B as in boy, whatever. Bill Schaumburg at Bill Schaumburg. And also, if you want to check out some more animal stories, or videos, that is, my Dodo Instagram is Bill_the_Dodo. And we're doing a lot of fun things there. Just got a dog adopted in Mexico that was trying to get adopted for 3 years. We're doing a dating show with Scarlett Johansson. We're doing all sorts of fun stuff. So that's definitely worth checking out too.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Then you can go to, mine's super simple. It's MatthewDiLoretto.com, DiLoretto.com.
Wonderful. Well, Bill, Matthew, thank you both so much for taking the time to speak with me, for sharing this pivotal piece of American theater with us, this incredible work. I cannot wait to come and see this. I'm marking it on my calendar. I will be there with bells ringing. But I really
can't wait to meet you in person. Thank you so much for having us. Seriously, this is our first podcast about the play, and it's just great to be here.
Thank you. I really appreciate both of you and your time. So thank you. My guests today have been the writer and director, Bill Schaumburg, and the performer, Matthew Donovan DiLoretto, who are coming to New York with a fabulous piece called Three Chickens Confront Existence. It's playing May 23rd through the 26th at Under St. Mark's, and you can get your tickets and more information by visiting frigid.nyc. We also have some contact information for our guests, which we'll be posting on our episode description, as well as on our social media posts. But make sure you head to frigid.nyc now. Get your tickets. Come join us. We will let you know when we will be in attendance. Make it a Stage Whisper night out at the theater, but you're going to want to see this great, fantastic comedy, Three Chickens Confront Existence, playing May 23rd through the 26th. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies,
and keep talking about the theater
in a Stage Whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.